Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, thank you, Jay. It's like dark up here. Yeah, let's turn to Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 to the end of the book. Philippians chapter 4. I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. This is God's Word. The Apostle Paul writes, "I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity, not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low. I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Yet it was kind of you to share my trouble. And you, Philippians, yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving, except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And my God will supply every need of yours according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit." Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. And as Pastor Tim prayed earlier, thank you for this building, this location that we can gather together in safety and in warmth, away from the cold and the wind, to worship you in relative comfort. As humble as this place is, we thank you, Lord, for it. We thank you, Father, for the opportunity to come before you, to read your word together, be challenged by your word. We pray, Father, that your Spirit will be at work in us and give us the grace that we need. Give me the grace as well, for I'm in great need of it even now. Please help us to know you and to walk after you, to follow you. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah, Christmas wasn't long ago. So I want to ask each one of you, Not was the best gift that you received, but the best gift that you gave. You know, I want to flip it around a little bit. And the gift that you gave or have given doesn't have to be like a material thing. I want us to think more broadly. It could be like your time, your talent, maybe something you do for someone. If you look outside, if you see the walkways have been shoveled for last week, someone, at least one person did it. I don't know who, but I praise God for that person who shoveled the snow and the ice, right? So I want you guys to think about, what is the best gift that you gave? And you could be creative about it too, you know, like for the future. Best gift that you can give. And it's not necessarily like material things, a gift card, but something else. You know, you look at God's word here in the book of Philippians, the Christians there, they gave a gift to the Apostle Paul. And it was a material gift. But it wasn't just a material gift, too, when you think about it. You know, like the whole package that they gave him. It wasn't just the stuff that he got. And the Apostle Paul recognized that. And in a sense, you could say this book of Philippians, the letter to the Philippian Christians, the church there, is one big thank you letter to them in response to this amazing present that they gave him. A little background on Paul. When he wrote this letter, he was in prison. That's most of the time, that's when he was writing, when he had time to write. You know, he can't go anywhere else, right? He just stuck there. And we believe that he was in a Roman prison in Rome. And he was in great need. He was in great need. And he wrote this letter. You could say that this was his gift to the Christians there, which also we received too. Because in this letter, how did Paul bless the Christians there and us today? In this letter, he repeatedly reminded them of who Christ is, the love of Jesus Christ, and also the greatness of Christ. He was pointing their eyes to Jesus. Because in reality, the Christians there, they weren't necessarily overflowing with prosperity as we would guess too. We would assume that they were overflowing because they're always giving stuff or trying to give things or support Paul in all sorts of different ways, right? But they were also needy too, right? And then at the end of this letter, he reminds them, as was us today, that Jesus Christ is the secret to contentment in any situation. Any situation. And just think about it for a moment. Do you sense in your life always this desire for more? Like there's something missing all the time. You know, people that, you know, the advertisers, the marketing experts, they capitalize on this sense in deep in us that, oh yeah, I need something, right? And that's why those ads keep popping up on our phones, on our computers, saying, oh yeah, you need this, you need that. And when you think about it, these ads, they make promises to you. Seeing that if you get this, your life is going to be changed in this way. Right? And that's a normal thing for us to feel that discontent. Because ever since Adam sinned in Genesis, that emptiness, that need has been there. Because, you know, God was removed from that picture, basically. It left that vacancy that only God fulfills. Right? That's why Jesus is the only one who can fulfill that discontent that we feel inside of us. Right? I confess, I get distracted by those ads all the time. And those ads are what I think they call it targeted ads now, right? Somehow they look at, they're able to, it's kind of creepy, they can figure out what you're looking at on your screen there, on your phone, they know it. Next thing you know, it doesn't even matter what kind of other app you're using, an ad related to that thing you're looking at and this other app pops up. It's kind of creepy. But it's very effective though, I would say. And for hours at a time, I'm thinking, oh yeah, I need that. I'm like thinking about it. It's so distracting, right? But the reality is only Jesus satisfied. Only Jesus. And I have to keep reminding myself many times during the day. I don't know about you guys, right? And that's what Paul wants to remind the Christians there at Philippi. Remind them of Jesus. And guess what? It's only because of Jesus that the Philippian Christians cared about Paul. It's only because of Jesus that they cared about Paul. If you look back at his history with them, you go back to like Acts chapter 16, that's when he first went there. He wasn't with them for a very long time, maybe a few weeks. Only a few weeks. But the amazing thing is, and I think a lot of church planners today would be jealous, after a few weeks he left there, there was a church there. He planted a church in a few weeks there, instead of many years like some places, right? Yeah. Yeah, through Paul, God called the Christians there to faith in Jesus Christ. And through Paul, who pointed them to Jesus Christ, they received such great blessing. Such great blessing. They learned about how Jesus lived a perfectly obedient life for them. They learned about how Jesus died for their sins. They learned about Jesus and were confronted with the fact that Jesus rose again from the dead on the third day. And through the grace and mercy of God, they believed. They believed. And it was such a joyful time for them. A powerful time. That's why the church just kind of just gelled together there. Even though it was tiny. But just imagine the power that they had. The power that they had. And they loved Paul and they wanted to help him. Right? And that's the same for us today. That power, that joy, that promise of contentment is available to all of us. And for those who believe in Jesus, it's important to be reminded of it, just like Paul was reminding the Philippians back then. And for those who haven't believed, now is your chance. Now is the time to grab hold of that. Grab hold of that gift offered to you in Jesus Christ. You know, believe, and you will be saved, as Paul said to one Philippian back in chapter 16 of Acts. Actually, toward the end of the chapter. If you recall, he was in jail, and then the jailer asked him, "What must I do to be saved?" And Paul said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. You will be saved. Believe in Jesus Christ, you will find contentment. Believe in Jesus Christ, you will find peace. Believe in Jesus Christ, and you will find the answer with a capital A." And I know I sound like an infomercial, but this isn't an infomercial. And normally I shy away from saying stuff like that because, you know, with engineering background, I like to be very conservative. I don't like to make promises I can't keep or say things I can't back up. But these are what I just said about Jesus. 100% I can back it up through the Holy Spirit. 100%. Right now, for those who believe, but for those who don't believe, you got to grab hold of it and believe to have it. You know, after Paul was forced to leave the that seedling church in Philippi, they continued to keep tabs on him. I don't know how they did it back then, because they didn't have cell phones or was it air tags or something like that, or those Soviet spy satellites. they didn't have that stuff back then, but somehow they kept tabs with him, and they would find him somehow, like, oh yeah, he's in this part of the world, and they'll literally hand deliver a gift to him. I'm not kidding. You know, there's this guy he mentions in our passage here, Epaphroditus. Was it verse 18? That guy literally brought the Philippian gift to Paul. You know, I don't know, land, walking on land, on sea, on, was it camelback or donkey? Right? He brought it there. And if you look in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul tells the church there, he says, yeah, what was lacking to me, the brothers who came from Macedonia supplied, referring to the Philippians. So Paul's referring to Philippians in other letters, right? Because Philippi, it was in Macedonia, right? He even mentioned Macedonia. When I left Macedonia, that's when I left you guys. This is in verse 15. No other church entered a partnership with me. They were with him, right? And they provided stuff for him. Hand-delivered, this time, at least in this letter, by a guy named Epaphroditus, basically immortalized in God's word here. Can you imagine your names listed in the Bible? That's so cool, right? And he praised God. So let me read again. He says, I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. Right? And then jump in toward the end. He says, not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gift you sent. And this is how Paul saw the gift. A fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. So that material gift that the Christians there gave to Paul, Paul saw it as a gift to the one true God. Kind of like the offerings that we just received. Yeah, you're giving it to Living Hope Ministries or CCCVA, the church here. But in actuality, we could say the same thing here. It's a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God that he's giving, right? So the gift was to Paul, was a sacrifice to God, and Paul was thankful for it, right? But he was also thinking about them, right? Because when you think about it, and you've heard this this platitude before, you know, like when you give a gift, it benefits the giver more than the recipient. Have you ever heard that before? Older people, man, right? It benefits the gift, right? Maybe not. Yes, some people remember that. It's true, right? It's true on a human level, but it's also true on a spiritual level, too. Because look at what Paul says in verse 17. It says, I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. That's one of the reasons why he was so happy about it. Not just because, oh yeah, I don't have to suffer so hard right now in prison, in jail. But as he received the gift, he realizes how the Philippian Christians benefit from it too. He realized it. You know, years ago, a missionary told me, he says, Ray, you know, when you're doing that missionary stuff, right? You will find times when someone would offer you a gift. And he says, Ray, take it. That's why a lot of times when people offer me something, I say, oh yeah, thank you. Not because I'm greedy, but I remember my friend, one of my mentors. He says, when you're doing this stuff, people will, you know, there come a time when they will offer you stuff. He says, take it. And I said, why should I take it if I don't sense a great need for it at the time? He says, take it because it blesses them. It blesses them. And just like as the Philippians gave to the Apostle Paul, they were blessed. They were blessed. Right? It would appear as credit to their account. When you give, it appears as credit to your account. When I give, and it's not just material stuff, as I mentioned earlier, it could be in any way you can give, right? Let me brag on the praise team this morning. What they're doing here is a gift. They were here late last night. And for those of you online there, thank you, Carl. He went above and beyond so that the music was. You got it. I heard about this cable. And now the mic might be bad too. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, you know, he went above and beyond giving to not just for us to be able to praise God with beautiful music, but for you guys online. Right? Well, we all remember back in those COVID days when we tried to have music online, it didn't work. But he went above and beyond to make sure it worked as best as it can. Thank you, Grace. Yeah. It could be stuff like that. You give, and then you're blessed in return. Right? Yeah. You know, and fruit that you receive, you know, you receive fruit too. It could also be, spiritual growth. You grow spiritually. I'm pretty sure, like Pastor Tim, like he's always looking for spiritual growth in all of us, right? Amen. And you know what a blessing to him when he sees Jesus working in your life. And beautiful things pop up, right? Beautiful in God's eyes, beautiful in our eyes too, right? Yeah, so there's many ways to give. Many ways you can serve. Yeah, many ways, right? It could also be a kind word to someone. A kind word. Now, there may be some of you in here who are in need of a kind word. And many years ago, it was my observation that it seemed like the gift, the spiritual gift of encouragement, isn't exercised enough. Because there's this one old missionary. He has the gift of encouragement. And whenever he talks to me, I got a present recently. This is all related. That says, "Happiness is a sad song." I love that. Right? You know, my kids think of me as Eeyore. You know, from Winnie the Pooh. You know how everyone knows Eeyore, right? Yeah. So when I hear an encouraging word, I'm like, wow. It's like a cool glass of lemonade in the summertime. It's so refreshing. And just open my eyes. Oh, yeah, we need a gift of encouragement. So maybe we need more. We still need more of that today, right? And the thing is, it takes time and effort. I mean, for those who are well off material, it's easy to put the money or put the check in the offering, or Venmo, even easier, just tap on your phone. Easy to do that. But when you give the gift of your time, like last night, all the brothers and sisters there, it takes a lot of thought. You know, it takes time, right? So whatever it is, God will help you. And maybe you're on the receive. You're one of those who are like Paul on the receiving end. You need that. God will show you, and you're gonna have to find out for yourself how God wants you to give, and who to give it to. And this isn't planned out, but, you know, this is a shameless plug for the building program, too. I didn't know you were going to talk about it today, honestly. So I was like, oh, he is going to talk about it. But yeah, that's another way to give, too. The building program. And here's the interesting thing. Here's a spiritual truth that's going to require faith in Jesus. A spiritual truth. As you and I give, you know, however way, material, time, talent, service, words, however you give, our Heavenly Father will provide and supply you, the giver, will supply the giver. Even as the giver is giving to the one in need, God will provide the giver. Why is that? Because as the giver gives to the one in need, and he's giving because of Jesus, Jesus working in his or her life, the Father sees that. And you know how it is. After you give, then you don't have anything, right? Especially when you're kind of like on borderline already. You give, now you're in the red. God sees that, and he fills it back. He tops it off for you, basically. Yahweh provides, supplies our needs, and blesses us. Now, if you want to give so that you can receive the gift, that's wrong. For those of you trying to work the system, it doesn't work that way. God knows it, right? But he knows when you're giving sincerely. He knows when you're giving sincerely. And he sees it. And he tops you back up, right? You know, back in the 70s, going way back, there was a small church in south of Richmond called Centralia. Anyone know where Centralia is? It's south of Richmond. You could look it up on Google Maps. You'll see. It's a tiny little town.
Is it the church?
The church, I believe, is still there, right? So there's this little tiny church there, struggling church. They don't even have a pastor, or they lost their pastor. They're looking for a pastor. And because they're looking for a pastor, they need someone to preach on Sunday, you know. So the session there went on this list, you know, and our presbytery has a list, right? And they said, oh, there's this guy, a young pastor. Why don't we call him to preach that for that coming Sunday, right? And that young pastor was starting a church here in Northern Virginia at the time. And you know, when you're planting a church, starting a church, finances and material things is always, always tight, right? And some of you know this pastor. He's been around since the 70s, so it's like over 40 years now. Pastor Ron Bossom. You guys know him? Remember him? Yeah. So he's preached here before. So he was just starting Harvester Presbyterian Church back in the 70s. The congregation was smaller than what we have here today. So he got the invitation to preach. So he preached them. The church didn't really know them, but after preaching there, they found out that he needed a car. Yeah, because his car was dying. I know how that is, right? Yeah. So the session there, they found out that he needed a car. They provided him with a van, a 16-passenger van. Why? Well, you know, his car is dying. And they found that as a church planter, every Sunday, he's like driving people around, picking people up, bringing them to church, to and from church on Sundays. So a van would have been very useful to him. So they called, after a few months, they called him back to preach again. And after the service, he opened the door. There's the van. Yeah, they gave him the keys. Right? Yeah. So how did God bless this struggling church in Centralia? Because their faithfulness to God and God's children. Right? Well, after this, God did lead a pastor to the church in Centralia. They got new members. And they got a new building. Wow, isn't that cool? I mean, they're struggling. They get a new building. Isn't that? That's wow. And what about Pastor Ron Fossum? Right? If you know anything in history about this church, he went on to help start CCCVA. He helped start this church here. With the founding, he mentored the founding pastor. He mentored Pastor Chua. And if you guys from any connection with the Cantonese congregation, he mentored Pastor Tam, who's retired, semi-retired. He mentored and discipled hundreds, if not thousands, of people in the past 4 years. And they now serve or go to church all around the world because, check this out. He was telling me how a lot of military families go through his church, and he needed leaders. So he would train elders and deacons from those military families. And then he says, and you know what, Ray? After 2 or 3 years, they move out because they're in the military. They ship them out to somewhere else. And then he had to train new elders and new deacons. And I said to him, that's kind of cool because now you got all these trained people in the worldwide church helping Christians all around the world, right? And he said, yeah, but Harvester is suffering, you know, because their leaders just like leaving every few years. And guess what? It was Pastor Ron was one of the main reasons why I'm here today. Yeah, I met him in Philadelphia. He was just happens to be in Philadelphia when I was in seminary, and I was in a meeting with him, along with other pastors. And I was like, who is that guy? You know, he wasn't talking to me. He was talking to the whole group and all these other important people. I'm just the seminarian in the corner there listening. So who's that guy? And I didn't know he was connected with this church until he and Pastor Trog came to Philadelphia to talk to me. I said, "Oh yeah, I remember you guys." Right? I'm part of his fruit. He has touched so many people. God provided the church for him. To give to him. God provided to Pastor Ron to give to us. God will provide to each one of you to give to others too. God promised to supply all of our needs. And for those of you who feel like the Apostle Paul, who are in need to receive some word of encouragement, right? God will give to you too so that you can give to someone. Because like Paul said, I know how to be brought low and I know how to abound in any and every circumstance. I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. That doesn't mean it's going to be easy. Like even as I read that, a few of you know that I've been on the diet for the past 3 weeks. And when I say I know how to face hunger, I like, can I read that today up front here sincerely? And I was like, I need God's grace there because, I mean, I'll be up front. I'm hungry all the time now. And I was looking at all that food last night, like, oh man. I'm like watching everyone eat like 2 or 3 hot dogs. I'm like, man, I can only have one. It makes me so. God will supply your need too, right? So that you can give to other people, right? Yeah. So will you allow God to lead you to give? Even when you feel like you don't have anything to give. I'm not saying to go against that feeling. Well, yeah, I have nothing, but I'm going to give anyway. And that will put you further into the hole, whether it's emotional hole or financial hole. I don't mean that. But He'll show you the time and place and the how and the what. He'll show you. But will you follow Him? Will you follow Him? And God will give you great joy. And He'll top you off. He'll top you off. Right? Just like the Philippians here. They didn't have a lot. Yet they still gave to Paul. They didn't have a lot. They gave sacrificially. And in return, they received an amazing blessing. Just think of it. In return, they receive God's word addressed to them that we still have today. And even today, we're still remembering these Christians from 2,000 years ago. Particularly Epaphroditus. Man, his name is in here. It just blows my mind when I think about it. Man, I don't see my name in here. Not that I want to, but that'd be kind of interesting, right? What a blessing to them. And so they might not have experienced it right away, but they are blessed. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your word. Thank You for Jesus, because without Jesus, we would not be here. Thank You for the Philippian Christians many years ago, how they are faithful to Your call to serve and to give to one of Your servants, Your children, the Apostle Paul, who in return gave them Your word that we have even today, preserved by the power of Your Spirit. Please help each and every one of us to give, both who are in plenty and those who are in need too. Help us to know You and follow You. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.